Greetings, everyone, and welcome to episode 2 of the Stand Up and Stand Out podcast. I'm Nikki Green, your host for today's solo journey that I'll share in two parts. One part will be the audio podcast version to discuss today's thought-provoking topic, and then part 2 will be released on my YouTube channel to walk you through a screen share demonstration. If you haven't followed Stand Up and Stand Out yet via your favorite podcast platform or subscribe to our YouTube channel, links to everything are in the show notes on our website at greenchameleoncollective.com/podcast. Lots more exciting episodes are coming soon with fascinating guests, intriguing co-hosts, and honest ramblings from yours truly, Nikki Green. Content warning, before we get started, I'm going to curse in this episode, much to my mother's chagrin. Today's episode is called Fuck the Algorithms, and we are going to talk openly about the issues plaguing today's digital marketing and social media trends. I'll share some of my experiences from 20 years of working with tech and some of my hopes for the future, how we can begin to do business differently. I'm purposely using strong language today to get your attention so we can start this important dialogue. My mother would definitely prefer I say things like darn algorithms instead, but that just doesn't have the same effect, does it? To get started, we should probably understand why I'm quite so upset at algorithms. Did they dump me on a date? Were they mean to my cat? Nikki, what happened? Well, kids, email happened. Loads and loads of email. For 15 years of my career, I've worked in pricing for different companies, and the most important thing it has taught me, my time is valuable. If you cannot attribute your time to earning more money, furthering your interests, either professional or personal, or achieving a long-term goal, then that time is wasted, and we simply don't get it back. The biggest waste of my time over my career has been email. Let's do a simple breakdown. If I charge $200 an hour for my consulting services, and an email takes me 5 minutes to read, process, and decide if I need to act on it, that email should generate around $17 in revenue. If not, I just lost $34 in revenue and opportunity costs. But Nikki, how did that figure double? Well, now I need to take action for another 5 minutes to make sure I'm not bothered by this time waste by either unsubscribing to the newsletter or marking it as spam so my email service avoids it for me. Today in my new business, I'm already getting 20 to 30 of these types of time waste emails every day. If I spend the same amount of time reading all of them and acting, then I've lost up to $500 in potential revenue. That's a lot of money for a small business to lose every single day. And as I always say, the thing to do to someone you don't like, or maybe for an April Fool's joke, subscribe them to a bunch of unwanted email newsletters. When I worked in tech, this was even worse. I received 150 to 200 emails every single day. And people expected a near instant response for each one of them. If I took that same 5 minutes, that's 12 and a half to 16 and a half hours just reading email. Assuming I didn't have, meetings to go to, staff to take care of myself, staff meetings with my boss, my peer managers, things to do with my stakeholders. That already took up a 10 to 12 hour day. There simply isn't time to do both, and you end up doing a half-assed job at replying to the emails and being present in a meeting and try to squeezing it all in a workday. To rub even more salt in the email wound, a portion of my team's role was also responsible to work with our legal department to help send those lovely compliance mandatory emails to customers that many of you see in your inboxes every quarter. Despite the fact that these emails were a top complaint from our customers, they were simply unavoidable due to different country regulations established around the world. I was contributing to the internet waste, and it made me sick. So as I begin my new business, I want to rethink this process with all of you to come up with a better way for us to connect with our audiences, potential customers, and longtime fans. Social media seemed like the next best choice for me to begin this exploration. I was an avid Instagram user personally, so it was the easiest way for me to get started marketing my new business. But the people that follow my personal Instagram account are my friends, my family, previous coworkers. They know me and they have a vested interest in seeing what fun things I'm up to, what I'm sharing through travel photos and TikTok videos. My business account would have to build a new audience, but who and how? As I wrote and published my new book, I Laugh in the Face of Danger, now available at Amazon and other retailers, I uncovered Bookstagram through a good friend of mine that does amazing book reviews. An entire audience of dedicated people who like to read, write, and share their love of books. Perfect. or so I thought. This is when my thoughts on fuck the algorithms began to form. Many on the Bookstagram run these follow trains each week to increase their vanity metrics of followers, likes, and content saves. This is done not to connect with other people or to share any original thoughts, but to trick the Instagram algorithm into promoting their other content more often in people's feeds. I always try to relate social media to real life situations. If I went to a party with a bunch of people I didn't know, how would I meet them? I probably wouldn't go around the room asking them, like me, like me, like me, or start giving out my phone number. And in a business setting, I wouldn't go shoving my business card in their face either. I'd strike up a conversation. I'd try to get to know them. And the people who are participating in the follow trains are just trying to do the same thing for their account. We're all just trying to figure it out. It just doesn't feel right. And sadly, you end up with a lot of ghost followers, which are not people, but simply bots who generally don't follow you back, don't like your content, and even more, unfollow you shortly after they started following your account. We learn through doing. So I followed the trains right into the dark tunnel of social media mountain. I set a goal of hitting 500 followers by the end of December, and I dedicated an hour each weekend to participating in every train, loop, hexagon, whatever shape I could find. I received a small increase in followers, but it felt exhausting, and there was very little traction on those new followers liking my content. I could automate my account, follows and likes and other things to scale my digital marketing, but then I'm not really connecting either. We do this in hopes of getting picked up by the algorithm, but if other accounts have automated their likes and follows, aren't they falsely interacting with your account? Doesn't it seem like we just let the bots run social media and we've removed anything human about the connection? Is it still social if it's just two computer programs talking to each other? I became further discouraged when I learned about the bots and vanity metric chasers who disappeared from my followers list as fast as they disappeared. I spent even more time curating thoughtful content, but the reaction from the remaining followers was not as enthusiastic as my friends and family on my personal account. That was the type of connection I was looking for. True fans. Sound familiar to any of you? I wanted to flip the script. I didn't just want to push my ideas, my book, my podcast on others. I wanted to hear other people's stories. I wanted to understand their challenges and support them in following their passions. My career coach said a profound thing to get me in the right headspace. Don't just think outside the box, which, by the way, is a phrase I loathe from its overuse in corporate America. But take yourself out of the box you've been put in. Boom. Mic drop. Instead of spending an hour doing follow loops, I spent that same amount of time getting to know the people I follow and who followed me. I liked their content. I commented on their questions and observations, and in turn, they commented back. Although the increase in followers was much slower, hitting 500 in March, not in December, it felt so much better. It connected me to their stories and helped me modify my content to better reach them. While I was connecting with my followers, I hired an apprentice through Acadium and I gave him the reins to post to my social media account for a few months. As he learned about my business, read my book, he was able to share his thoughts and add to the conversation. My target audience are the amazing new millennials entering the workforce, and he could relate to them in ways my Gen X mindset still needed to learn. It was a partnership between us, as all work should be. I shared my insights on what I was learning and hearing from my audience, and he would bring in ideas that might not occur to me with the generational gap. With my learnings from the gram, I then moved over to LinkedIn to begin updating my 1,000 followers from previous work engagements on my new adventures in entrepreneurship and as a newly published author. Despite the differences in the audiences on the platform and the increased reach I had with my existing audience, the result was much the same as Instagram. A few close friends and people who genuinely connected with my content, like my business page or my posts, maybe made an extra effort to send a message of congratulations or Happy New Year. It started to feel like my personal Instagram account again, and I was happy. That feeling quickly turned back into fuck the algorithms as new, insincere followers started to flood my LinkedIn DMs. I was being immediately bombarded by bots trying to sell me things, telling me they were the best choice to help me with a problem I didn't even know I had. They weren't real people. They did not take 2 seconds to look at my website or understand my business and my mission. They were nothing better than the same form emails I hated in my inbox converted into spam messages on LinkedIn. I was disgusted and pissed off, and they were once again wasting my time. So I decided to flip the script again. I used my Calendly scheduling account to create a consulting link just for such an occasion. I created a link that charged $200 for 30 minutes of my time. Yes, double my normal fee, payable in advance through my website. And I sent it back to all these annoying DM sales pitches. The shocking result? I was able to pick up more relevant consulting gigs which aligned with my business. The simple email changed the conversation. It increased my worth to them and made them take a second look at my profile, my experience, and to start a more thoughtful dialogue on how we could partner together. After 20 years in tech, helping improve sales processes, software programs, and pricing, I have way more to offer them than most of these new kids on the virtual block were offering me. And I like learning new things, so it's giving me insights into new industries, which will help me on future projects for my new business. More on that in an upcoming episode. There's a great TEDx talk by Kathy O'Neill called "The Era of Blind Faith in Big Data Must End." Sounds very ominous, doesn't it? I'll add a link to it in the show notes. I found it from a documentary on HBO Max called "Persona: The Dark Truth Behind Personality Tests." Another ominous title. But Kathy piqued my interest for another reason. One of the tech jobs I had was establishing data governance in this new world of big data. Data governance is the regulation of how people internally in the company and externally, think OEM manufacturers, cell phone companies, government agencies, etc., should be permitted to use the big data from devices and software produced by this company. If you aren't already aware from other documentaries and webinars on the topic, the tech companies have an insane amount of data on you, and the type and frequency of data that they are collecting, it's growing exponentially. My very challenging new role was to help these amazing data scientists walk the fine line of sharing and learning from the data without penalizing or excluding people we should be helping to grow and learn with these new devices and software. Although these data scientists were geniuses in so many ways, they were also idiots in others. I endearingly use the word idiot because the etymology suggests something more of a recluse or an introvert versus someone of low intellect, which could describe many of these brilliant people I know. As I reviewed their requests for data, their biases were very apparent to me. To them, they were anomalies because they didn't align with their hypotheses, so the data is simply ignored or excluded. Gender was the first anomaly I spotted, but many other things about their perception of the problem they were trying to solve with the data were skewed. Their perception and how they saw the world, how they saw people interacting, and the need to correct what they saw as imperfections in their algorithms and software design, it bothered me. When we use the past to predict the future, it means we can improve. It means we don't learn. But humans learn. It also means we can't have new experiences. Just because we haven't done something before doesn't mean we don't want to try it, or maybe we'll really enjoy it. We just have to be exposed to it to have the experience, especially for young people who only have a couple decades on this planet. We need to give them time. And if we take this beyond big data, it made me think that we could be doing social media all wrong. We shouldn't trust the almighty algorithms. We should be training them. Shouldn't social media show you a new world of possibilities, not regurgitating your past likes? People want excitement, adventure, new things each day. We learned this all too well in the pandemic. People did not do well locked up. And what did they do with their time indoors? They binged on this type of social media, churning the same circle of ideas through their feed and depressing them in the process. They needed something new, something different. So let's be different. In the software world, almost everything is agile. In its most basic form, what this means is that things can change every 2 weeks. If you think you figured out a way to game the algorithms, you haven't for long. They will soon push new code and the game begins again. Instead of letting algorithms direct us on how we should interact, let's show it what we want it to do. Make a stand for how you spend your time and for how you want to grow your audiences. So here's my plan going forward. I welcome your feedback and thoughts via my website and social media channels so we can adapt and learn together. Step one, email is purely for established business connections. Let's make the example. I don't give my home address out to anyone who asks for it. If I go to the mailbox, I'm not looking forward to junk mail, to bills, or any unknown waste of paper. I want to see a Christmas card from my family, a birthday card from my grandma, or a random surprise from one of my friends. Email should be the same. As of now, I am removing all email requests from my website. I am avoiding anything reminiscent of a ClickFunnel or email newsletter to waste your time. There we go. Step two, if you follow me and you're a genuine person, I'm gonna follow you back. If you aren't a real person or you're not creating honest content or in other ways depressing my feed, I will unfollow you and I will encourage others to do the same. If it's extremely offensive, I will block, report, and otherwise keep these false accounts from taking away the power of social media. This is such an important, inexpensive way for so many people to share their art, their soul, their causes, their reasons for being. Let's keep the focus on the positive and not let the negative keep us from our purpose. Step three, conversely, I want to help promote others who are working hard to curate new and interesting content. Through my social media accounts and my podcasts, I will begin to highlight people who are inspiring me. I'm not going to do this in exchange for money or other incentives. I don't need to be an influencer. I just want to do something good for the people that are inspiring me to do the same. And last, step four, if I've liked your content, I've commented on your photo or your video, it's me, maybe my intern, but there's no bots, there's no automation, there's no tricks. So starting with these four simple steps, I hope to forge a new path forward. Some may doubt these techniques as they've been told that email marketing is the only way to capture your audience and keep them updated on whatever's going on with your business. I'm calling bullshit. But Nikki, you ask, I like your podcast, but my Instagram or TikTok account, it's just for fun. It's my personal hobby. It's not a business. Does this apply to me? Sure, I think, why not? Aren't you there to gain connection to others that you don't see in everyday life? Why wouldn't you follow similar tactics? Be genuine, share genuine content, and connect with people all around the world who have similar likes or something totally different and get to know and understand them better. The internet gurus will tell you that you can't trust social media to communicate with your followers. As platforms come and go in popularity, they may not be there tomorrow. Most millennials I talk to, they don't use email unless they have to for work. They interact through text and DMs on their platform of choice. So I believe for my business target audience, it makes sense to drop email as a way of marketing to the masses and leave it strictly for real coaching and one-on-one connection. So let's have a little social media history lesson. Facebook began in 2003-04. I joined in 2009. It's been around for nearly two decades. It doesn't seem to be going anywhere. Instagram was bought by Facebook in 2012. I joined in 2014. Again, it's already a decade in the making. Believe it or not, Twitter's older than that at 2006. I have friends who work here, so I'll avoid any negative nicknames for the platform, but sorry, a Twitter, I just don't get it. Just feels like a lot of negative messaging, so we'll skip that one for this particular lesson. Snapchat 2011, believe it or not, already a decade old. And TikTok, you don't stop, began in 2016, landed in the US on 2017. It's experienced exponential growth in 2020 as the world went into lockdown, but likely will lose some traction as we venture out beyond the four walls of our home again. There are too many other platforms to mention, even more on the rise, but each serves a different audience and markets a different type of user interaction, either written words, beautiful pictures, funny videos, ephemeral content, and now, with things like Clubhouse, audio only. I believe there will always be some platform for everyone. It will be up to us to decide which one fits our purpose in life, to share our message and achieve our personal and professional goals. For more ways on how to clean up your Instagram feed from the bots and dreaded follow unfollowers, check part two of this episode in my YouTube channel. Well, join me in saying fuck you to the algorithms and forging a brave new path forward in genuine social media content interaction. This is Nikki Green. Thanks for listening. This has been Stand Up and Stand Up.